In Latin, the word for soul is the word anima, from which we get the English word animation. The tradition speaks about two kinds of soul. One is called the magna anima, which means the great soul. The other is called the pusula manima, which means the cramped soul. So the great soul and the cramped soul. In our reading from the gospel, the first two men who make 10 and 5 pounds with the pound they had been given embody what we would call the magna anima, the great soul, and that their soul continues to expand and grow, whereas the third man represents the pusilla anima. He has a cramped soul, and the more closed he is to God and his grace, the more cramped and constrained his soul becomes. St. John the Evangelist is a man who had a magna anima, a great soul. Read his gospel, read his letters, read the book of Revelation as we're doing now, and we see in this man a profound and deep sense of what it is to be fully alive. Indeed, when he writes the Revelation, he's in his 80s. He's working in a stone quarry in the Mediterranean on an island called Patmos. If anyone had any excuse to have a Priscilla anima, that is a cramped soul, it would have been St. John because of the conditions of his life. But he's not like that. Why? Because he's had a vision and the door to heaven has opened before him. In this vision, as you heard in our reading from Revelation, there is the representation of four beasts. These four beasts are known as the tetramorphe. Tetra is the Greek word for four, and morphe is the Greek word for image. So these four morphe, the tetramorphe of Revelation chapter 4. I have here on the screen a representation of each of these four images, and we're going to see the first one now. In the Gospel according to St. Matthew, we have an understanding of a man representing this gospel. Like in the Revelation, it says there was this beast that had the face of a man. Why a man in Matthew? Because Matthew begins with that great genealogy, the listing of all of the names. And so it's been understood that the genealogy in Matthew helps us to underscore that Jesus comes from Israel and he is truly human. The second image that you're going to see coming up onto the screen is that of a roaring lion. And this is the image used to represent the gospel according to St. Mark. Because in Mark's gospel, immediately we see John the Baptist in the wilderness like a lion, roaring and saying, "Make way for the Lord, for he is coming." And then thirdly, in the gospel according to St. Luke, he's represented by an ox. This is because in Luke's gospel, the whole first part of the gospel takes place in the temple, and it's all about sacrifice. And the ox represents the whole sacrificial system of Israel. And then fourthly, the gospel of St. John is represented by a soaring eagle, because in John's gospel, we have those soaring words from his prologue. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so St. John, in the Revelation, represents these four beasts who represent not only the four Gospels, but they represent the church as well. We can end the slides for now. Thank you. There was an English theologian by the name of St. Bede. And he thinks about the creatures and develops them beyond the gospel to say the following. The living creatures of Revelation chapter 4 refer to the church, the whole church. Her courage is seen in the lion, her sacrificial service in the ox, her humility in the man, and her sublimity in the flying eagle. Courage, sacrifice, humility, sublimity. That is what it is to be the church. And St. John had a soul that was magna anima, because he understood that in everything that's going on in this world, in all of the struggles, in all of the challenges, being an octogenarian on the island of Patmos and having to work in a stone quarry, that did not define John. It was this image, this understanding of who God truly is. Another thing about that beautiful reading from Revelation 4, we hear the heavenly chorus cry out, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Beloved, every time we are at Mass, this vision of heaven coming down to earth is what happens. And at every Mass, we hear either from the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Luke, or the Gospel of John. Isn't God good? Hasn't God given us a great gift? But the question is, who will we be? Will we be like those in the parable who do not want God to be our ruler? Or will we be those who say, "Yes, Jesus, for I know when you are the ruler of my soul, I can grow in having a magna anima." Today, as the church remembers those who are persecuted for their faith, we recognize that in a world like this, there are many who hate the magna anima, because all they want is the cramped soul. Not us, not the church. And we give thanks for the witness of those who, through their lives, in the midst of great suffering, embody the magna anima. Nothing less is called of you. Nothing less is called of me. Nothing less is called of us.